The following podcast has been brought to you by Catholic Digital Resources. Visit the website catholicdr.com for downloadable parish resources. At Catholic Digital Resources, you can find faith-building bulletin inserts on the Sunday Scriptures, RCIA materials, ready-made PowerPoints for catechists, faith-sharing materials for Bible study groups and small Christian communities, and much more. Download faith formation resources and evangelization tools from Catholic Digital Resources at catholicdr.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
Greetings. If this is your first time listening to a Footsteps to Heaven podcast, let me give you a special welcome. And if this episode inspires you, if this empowers you, as I hope it will, to live a stronger Christian life, then be sure to come back and listen to previous episodes that we've done. You can find them on breadboxmedia.com. Or you can come to the Good News Ministries website at gnm.org to find other episodes. And you can also find there, in both places, other podcast shows that we do. And if you are a returning listener, because our past episodes have made a difference, because the Holy Spirit is working in your life through them, then please consider becoming a sponsor. There are costs involved to putting these podcasts on. And we really, really need some sponsors. More sponsors. Right now we've got 31 future episodes covered, but just 31. We need more sponsors. And so you can become a sponsor by going to the link that will be provided in the show notes of this podcast or by coming to our website. And now let's get into the topic today. The four-second prayer that defeats Satan. There is much, much more that Jesus did than what we read about in the Bible. More miracles, more proof that Jesus loves us, that God the Father loves us, that the Holy Spirit loves us. In other words, the wholeness of God, all of God, loves us and wants each person of the Holy Trinity wants to have a personal relationship with us, a close, intimate friendship with us. There are more teachings that Jesus gave that would help us understand what God wants to do in us and through us if we were open to those teachings that are not in the Bible. And how does he give us teachings that are not in the Bible? Through the Holy Spirit. This is why he told us that the Holy Spirit will teach us everything that we need to know. See John 14:26. That's what he said in John 14:26. The problem is we expect less, not more. So we receive less instead of the abundant more that God wants to give us and do in us and do through us. And why do we expect less? Because Satan and his cohorts are doing everything they can to disempower the church. Why? Because we are all the church. We who are believers in Christ, we are all the church. Because we are a huge threat to them. We are a huge threat to Satan and all of his evil cohorts. If the body of Christ on earth today, that's you and me and all who have faith in Christ, were to come fully alive in the Holy Spirit and be who we really truly are, which is little Christs banded together and covering the whole earth, doing what Jesus did, if we were to do that, it is Satan and all evil doers who would be disempowered. It is they who would be disempowered. This is the plan of God. Jesus made that very clear in John Chapter 14, verse 12, and many other times. This is exciting good news. We want to conquer evil. We want to be a spirit-filled church, right? We want to be God's instruments of divine power. If we read the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, we see how it happened on a daily basis to the first Christians. And we wish it could be like that today. So then where's the disconnect? Why is there so much evil in the world today, even though we are a church of people who can rightfully say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world? That's from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Let me read that to you. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus as Lord is not from God, but is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, however, are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So, with Jesus in us, we should be able to do everything that Jesus did. Everything and more. That's what he says in John 14:12. Let me read that to you. Truly, truly, I tell you. And you know what truly, truly means? He says it twice. It's like saying very, very important. This is very, very important. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And then, a couple verses later, in verses 16 and 17, he said, the Father will give you the Spirit of truth to help you and be with you forever. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Wow. With the Holy Spirit in us, nothing can stop us from being God's instrument of divine power. Nothing except our disbelief in the truth of this. Nothing but the misconceptions we hold about the reality of this. We need to clear our minds of all false teachings, all false ideas about the Holy Spirit. A good spiritual exercise is to, are you ready for this? You might want to jot this down, but I am going to make this available in a transcript that you can download. A good spiritual exercise is to, step one, make a list of every idea that limits the supernatural, and then, one by one, turn them over to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, asking for the truth to be replaced by what is false. Next, step number two, go to Mass. And before receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, ask him to wash away the false ideas with his sacred blood. Step three is to disempower Satan. Win the battles of disbelief through the victorious power of Jesus. You can do that. You have what it takes in you already to do that. And in a minute, I am going to show you how easy it is to defeat Satan, so that you can be and do all that the Father has in mind for you. It only takes 4 seconds. But first, I'd like to share with you some tools that can help you with step number one. You see, many of the misconceptions we hold are so familiar to us, so deeply ingrained, because they are commonplace. So much so that we don't even realize that we're believing misconceptions. We are surrounded by people who have these misconceptions. We've been raised in these misconceptions. We are surrounded by people in church with these misconceptions, simply because they too have been raised this way. None of us have been raised back in that first century where everybody was fully alive in the Holy Spirit and everything was clear to them. Everything that was essential for living the empowered life was clear to them. Therefore, we have some unprogramming to do, some unlearning to do. Many of these misconceptions are so ingrained in us, they feel natural. They feel logical. They feel like it's the way it's supposed to be. we don't realize we are having misconceptions. And so, when our prayers are not answered with the miracles that we need, we blame God. This is exactly what Satan wants us to do. We are living surrounded by false ideas, and we are even inadvertently spreading these false ideas to our children, to our friends, to our spouses, to the students that we catechize, to the people at church that we talk to the people who, when they tell us their problems and we say, I'll pray for you, and then we walk away without the Lord working a miracle through us. We are inadvertently spreading exactly what Satan wants us to spread: misconceptions, limitations about who God really is and what he can and does want to do through us. Limitations about who we are as his children, as followers of Christ. So you can imagine how delighted Satan is with the way things are. All of these misconceptions that are disempowering the church. Because these false ideas have turned the body of Christ on earth into an ineffective wimp. We are not able to stop the evils that are going on. We are not able to evangelize effectively and lead people to Christ. Yes, we have some success with that. We have success with people who are ready for Christ. They're turning to Christ, and they just need us to help them along. But the unbelievers, the pagans, in other words, the people who have no faith in Christ, and maybe they're believing New Age falsehoods, maybe they're believing other religions, but these people are not going to believe the words we speak. And I've said this in previous podcasts because it's so important. God keeps telling me in my prayer time, keep preaching it, keep getting the word out. It's time for the Holy Spirit to rise up again in the church. And it's time for the body of Christ on earth to be fully alive in the Holy Spirit, because this world needs it. This world needs it, and God wants to stop Satan in his tracks. And God wants to rescue all of these unbelievers. But we don't convince them with just telling them the truth about Jesus. We need to live the truth with power. We need to look different and act different than everybody else. We need to show by God's divine power working in us and through us that God is real, that God really cares, and that his power is effective, his word is true, and that what Jesus says in Scripture is true. He's not lying. We can believe him. And so if we don't believe Jesus when he says, if you believe in me, you are going to do the same works I do and even greater than these. If we don't live that out and people don't see us doing the things that Jesus did, and I don't mean just doing nice things for each other. You know, turning the other cheek can be difficult, but, you know, there are non-Christians who can do that too. But what makes us different? What makes us different is God's power alive in us. And if we don't act like we believe what Jesus said about doing the works that he did, living the supernatural life like he did, then why should they believe, why should other people believe that Jesus wasn't lying when he said that only through me can you have eternal life? You see what I mean? These false ideas, these limitations we put on God's power, have turned the body of Christ on earth into an ineffective wimp, although not everywhere, not fully, but enough to please the devil and let him get away with so many things. Have you heard the story about Satan and an apprentice demon walking together along a path and discussing ways to trick people into going to hell? As they're walking along, the apprentice finds a piece of paper on the ground. He picks it up and reads it, and he's alarmed by what is written on it. He says, "This contains a piece of the truth. We can't let anybody find it." But Satan laughs and says, "Put it back where you found it. We want people to find it. It contains a piece of the truth, not the whole truth. We can lead a lot of people to hell with just a piece of the truth. The apprentice replies, but what about the followers of Christ? Will this lead them to hell? Satan says, no, but it will keep them quiet. You see, we have heard the full truth. We have the Holy Spirit in us, teaching us the full truth. Just like Jesus said, remember? But we don't live the full truth, because we are believing things that contradict the truth. And when we don't live it, we can't preach it. We can't teach it to others. We can't prove to disbelievers that God is real and that He truly cares about them. And that it is through Christ, and only through Christ, that we have eternal life. For example, we believe, falsely, that when our prayers don't produce miracles, it's because God doesn't want to give us the miracles, or because we're not good enough, or we haven't said the right words, as if the right choice of words can control God, or because God wants us to suffer, or we have not had access to a local faith healer to go to, and God only does miracles through certain special people. What's on your list of ideas that has limited the supernatural? To help you take ownership of the full power of Christ in you so that you can become His instrument of divine power, I've produced a set of 3 mini courses on the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's free. Everything we do at Good News Ministries is free. Yes, we need sponsors for these podcasts. We need donors that like what's on our website. And we need the support of people who are championing the good news, championing the mission that we do. But everything is done, everything is provided by a free will offering. This is how we continue. This is how we've been doing it since 1995 when we first got started with Good News Ministries. So take advantage of these 3 mini courses on the Holy Spirit. You can find them on the Good News Ministries website, gnm.org. But I will also include a link to them in the show notes for this Footsteps to Heaven podcast at breadboxmedia.com. Or you can find them by going to gnm.org, our website, and opening the menu called Videos and Podcasts, and then select Paraclesia. That's our section of the website devoted to courses, Paraclesia. Or you can look for one of our other podcast shows on breadboxmedia.com called The Good News Show and listen to these courses there, because 2 of these courses have already been produced there and the 3rd one is about to start. Okay, let's say you've done the first 2 steps of the spiritual exercise I've been describing. Let's say you've listed every idea that limits the supernatural and you've turned them over to the Holy Spirit, asking for the truth to replace what is false. And let's say you've taken them to Mass and have asked Jesus to wash away the false ideas with His sacred blood. Now you're ready to disempower Satan. This 4-second prayer that defeats Satan works for everyone who has Jesus in them and who truly wants to follow Christ, who truly wants to imitate Christ, and who truly wants to be the victorious presence of Christ in the world. But first, understand the psychology of this prayer. Our spiritual mind can influence our emotional mind or be influenced by our emotional mind. For example, if you feel discouraged while waiting for God to do something about a prayer request, if your emotional mind is in control of your beliefs, you can conclude that God doesn't care as much as you do about the problems. Your spiritual mind doubts, and this false belief has disempowered you. Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 21, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what I did to that fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done." Let's back up a minute. What did Jesus do to the fig tree? He had cursed it because he was hungry. He went to eat something from it. It had no fruit on it, so he cursed it. And when he and the disciples came back later, it had withered up and died. And they're wondering, wow, such supernatural power. And Jesus says, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what I did to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. You have that power, my friend, within you. I have that power within me. But we live in a world, we live in a time, we live in an environment where we are believing limitations, misconceptions about God that is limiting the supernatural. We are letting Satan disempower us. Remember that Jesus in you is extremely more powerful than Satan. So here's the 4-second prayer that defeats Satan. We'll use the example of if you're feeling discouraged. The 4-second prayer would go like this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce discouragement. Amen. That's all there is to it. You have now put your spirit in charge of your emotions, and you have chased away any demons who might be tempting you to feel discouraged. This 4-second prayer is great for any emotion that is working against faith. I use it whenever I feel a negative emotion, a fear or a doubt. Anything that I believe that, you know, I stop as I'm beginning to pray, Lord, help with the situation. I say, wait a minute. There's something here that I'm believing that is not what God wants me to believe. What is it? There's something here that I'm feeling that is not what God wants me to feel. What is it? It could be a fear. It could be the feeling of God isn't there for you, the feeling of abandonment or whatever. And you just simply say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the feeling of being abandoned. It's amazing how quickly this works. The change is instantaneous. For example, when I was preparing for this podcast episode, halfway through jotting down my notes, I felt tired of it. I lost interest in the project, in the topic. And I decided, well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. Maybe there's something that the Holy Spirit wants to teach me about this topic first. That's why I don't feel inspired anymore. But then, just in case it wasn't the Holy Spirit, I did that 4-second prayer. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the lack of interest in continuing and making this podcast today. Immediately, I felt the inspiration of the Holy Spirit again. So therefore, I knew it wasn't the Holy Spirit slowing me down. And by the way, I said this out loud. It's important to do this prayer out loud because the brain is affected. Your brain, in hearing the words out loud, believes it more, is more affected by it than if you just think the thought. And any demons listening, they can't read your mind, because if you have Christ in you, you have the mind of Christ in you, and they stay away from that. They can't be in the same place as Christ. And so we need to speak the words out loud and make sure that both our human brain and demons can hear what we are saying. There might not be a demon involved, but it does affect our own brain when we say it out loud. If you don't feel an immediate change when you do this 4-second prayer, add this. Come, Holy Spirit, teach me the truth. Come, Father God, bless me with, and then you pray whatever is the opposite that you are renouncing. For example, we're talking about discouragement, so you'd say, Father God, bless me with encouragement. And come, Lord Jesus, redeem me from the evil that discouragement has been doing in my life. Bring in the whole Trinity. And if that doesn't give you what you're asking for, if that doesn't give you relief from what you're renouncing, realize that there is a deeper problem that God wants to heal through a therapist or a spiritual director or a priest. Another important thing to know about this 4-second prayer is this. Never say, I renounce my discouragement. I renounce my fear. I renounce my whatever the negative emotion is. That would be taking ownership of it. Never take ownership of what you are renouncing by using the word my. What you do want to take ownership of is Christ's divine power in you. I want you to know beyond all doubt that God cares about you more than you can imagine. His concern for you is as big as infinite. He would be untrue to his limitless self if he didn't want to work miracles in your life. Think about what pain does. It distracts you from God, right? And he wants your undivided attention. Why would he want to allow pain to distract you, or any other problem to distract you? Yes, pain and other troubles can and should bring us closer to God as they motivate us to turn to him for help, but then what? What happens when we ask for a miracle and we don't get it? We usually turn away from God, at least to some extent. Exactly what the devil wants. Worse, we look like everyone else in the world. Being a Christian does not seem to be any better than being a pagan. Going to church does not seem to give us any advantages over staying home and doing our own little form of spirituality. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. This is anti-evangelization. This is being disempowered. This is being a disempowered church. Therefore, of course God wants to do everything he promised through the mouth of Jesus and through other scriptures. Remember what John 14:12 says? Remember what Jesus said here? Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. So let me ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Next question. Do you believe that Jesus never lied? Last question. Do you believe that everything Jesus said applies to you and your own life, your own situation? If you answered no to any of these questions, then go back to step one and identify the idea that has been disempowering your faith. Then do step two and take it to Mass, asking Jesus to wash it away with his sacred blood. Then do step three and renounce it. And in case you want to print out these steps and these prayers that I've been giving and these scriptures in this podcast, this episode of Footsteps to Heaven has been turned into a Word Bites article for the Good News Ministries website. Our Word Bites is a section of our website that is faith-building articles. So go to gnm.org and use the menu called Word Bites. And select the Holy Spirit theme, and you will find this podcast under the same name as this podcast, The 4-Second Prayer That Defeats Satan. I will also include a link to it in the show notes for this Footsteps to Heaven podcast at breadboxmedia.com. Now let's pray together for the Holy Spirit to fill you with the truth more than ever before. Pray this with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Come, Holy Spirit, and replace every false idea I have with the truth. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.